Over the last couple of days, the number of confirmed cases of COVID-19 climbed from 3 to 19. Last we looked in Wisconsin, that number is expected to grow. In response to the uptick in cases, Governor Tony Evers declared a public health emergency in the state yesterday. The governor said that by declaring an emergency, that will allow the state to utilize resources in order to slow and prevent the spread of the virus. Meanwhile, President Trump today declared a national emergency. Dr. Patrick Remington is Professor Emeritus at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. Dr. Remington, welcome back again to Central Time.
Good to be back. Thanks.
Well, Dr. Remington, we talked to you just a few days ago. The state had just confirmed its third case. What have you been watching for in the last couple of days now?
Well, it was predicted to that we would see an increase in transmission within this country, and that has been seen. We knew early on that the cases of people developing disease would be people who were infected outside this country and traveled back and then became ill. And it was just a matter of time, given how contagious this virus is, that we would see transmission within this country. And we've seen that both here in Wisconsin and across the nation.
Now, one of the big questions coming up until the president's talk today was, testing. Do we have enough tests? Are people getting tested who should be? Are we able to test them and process them quickly enough? What is your read on the state of testing up to today?
Well, it's always easy to look back and say we should have or could have had more tests available. I think the response now is appropriate to really ramp up availability of tests, not for everybody. Clearly, if you're well or maybe just concerned, you shouldn't go down and get tested. But it should be used for people who think they might be ill. And in that case, we want to have people make sure they don't go to their doctor. Call your doctor first to make sure there's a place to be tested. If everybody goes into a clinic, then the potential is you're bringing that infection into a place where other patients are, in particular, older patients or people with a chronic illness. So call your physician if you think you have an illness that might be COVID-19, and they will direct you to a place where you can get tested. And these testing sites will be basically drive up in places where you don't have a stagnant air in a building or other patients who are otherwise well.
We don't have that yet, though, do we? We've seen reports from doctors and potential patients nationally who have cases that seem to fit that profile. You mentioned people have been exposed or been on a cruise ship in the Mediterranean. They sought out testing and it wasn't there.
Well, and we are seeing it ramped up, right, literally as we speak. The Seattle, for example, did this in response to the outbreak there, and they put rapid testing facilities in parking ramps next to hospitals. So it will come. It's just going to take time to get those tests really geared up and ramped up. And obviously, it's not just the State Lab of Hygiene who can meet this demand, but it's private labs and hospitals from throughout the state. So again, that's a work in progress. The most important thing is to go back to the standard recommendations of CDC for yourself. Practice good hand hygiene. Avoid people who are sick. And if you do feel ill, or especially if you have a fever and a cough, stay home, call your doctor, and ask for what to do next.
Talking to Dr. Patrick Remington from UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at some of the latest news on the novel coronavirus. Another big thing since we talked just a few days ago, Dr. Remington, an explosion in the number of events closing down, sporting leagues, professional college, now high school, big events, a lot of cities canceling events over a certain size, states as well. Is this something that you think is worth doing, something that's going to make a difference?
Well, looking at it today, it might seem like an overreaction, but we'll know for sure a month or 6 weeks from now. And we would hate to be in the position to look back and say we should not have brought people together at a university or at a concert or at a sporting game. As someone was quoted in saying, if you look back and there's no transmission and this epidemic begins to subside, we will say we maybe did it, but it wasn't necessary. You'd rather be on that side, on the safe side, than regretting that you didn't do it.
Right. This is one of the tricky things about public health. One realistic scenario is that all these closures are actually going to work. They're going to help prevent the spread of this disease, slow it down. But that'll make us feel, in hindsight, like it wasn't worth it. Does that make it hard to send a public health message next time? It works, but that makes us think we didn't need it?
Well, I'm a preventive medicine physician, and I'm used to that. You're never thanked by the person who never got a disease, that for some reason, whether it was a policy that banned smoking indoors or raised the price of cigarettes so that kids were less likely to become addicted, you're never thanked for something that never happened. And you're often blamed in this setting. Business leaders or university officials might be blamed for overreacting, but again, you'll never know if that was the reason that we didn't see the epidemic peak.
Now, I've seen, and I wish I could attribute this, I don't remember who said it online, somebody made the case that, hey, it might look scary to see the NBA closing down, universities closing down, but think of it this way. Again, this person said, these are people making tough decisions in an effort to protect vulnerable people. This is actually a positive sign that we're taking this seriously and tackling it, even if it might be, in hindsight, an overreaction. What do you think about that way of thinking about it?
Well, I think it's a great point. I think that we do have laws in this country that allow public health departments to act and to make these decisions. But I think people are acting without the law. They're acting on the best science and being as cautious as they can be. The University of Wisconsin, I taught my last class on Thursday. After spring break, we will be continuing to teach, but we'll be doing it with distance technology so that students won't be coming back to campus at least until April 10th. And I think that's a reasonable response when we have uncertainty about how fast and how far this virus will spread.
Now, you touched on it a little already. You mentioned it last Tuesday, but let's get the basics out there again. What can individuals do to, even if they have that anxiety, to harness that anxiety in a positive way that can protect, if not themselves, then other people too?
Well, one thing I've started doing, in fact, I started it about a month ago, was I don't shake hands anymore. And people often laugh and sort of say that, oh, you know, you're a public health person, I see. But in my mind, now is not the time to be touching other people's hands. And then it's very difficult then not to touch your face or, you know, put your hand and scratch your eye. So I think just avoid shaking hands. And if you do touch surfaces that might be contaminated, wash your hands. I was in a place today and the bathroom was full. I've never seen so many people washing their hands and singing happy birthday. So people are getting the message. I think personal hygiene practices are changing, and we know from years of research, decades of research, that will be effective. That reduces the risk of transmission.
Now that we have still just 19 again, last I saw confirmed cases here in Wisconsin for people who know they've been in contact with someone who has had that confirmed case of novel coronavirus. If you're that person, you don't have symptoms, what should you do in that scenario?
Well, again, that is a scenario that where quarantine comes into place. Anybody who has been exposed to someone who is known to be infected must then be quarantined. And again, most of what you read today, people are doing that voluntarily. They're going home or going to a place where they can be out of contact with other people. Quarantine is for people who are well and who have potentially been exposed to a person with the illness. If you're sick, then that's not quarantine. That becomes isolation, and you really want to put yourself in a place where you're not going to spread the illness to others. So, again, if you've been exposed and to a person who's been known to be infected, call your doctor. Probably also call your health department, because they're the ones who will begin doing the contact tracing to make sure that not you may know that, but who else was in contact to that person with known illness. And that begins a really public health response, making sure that we can get ahead of the game instead of just chasing people who are sick and then chasing the people they were in contact with.
And briefly, for people who do get novel coronavirus and they are more vulnerable, what kind of treatment for people who get the more serious cases is out there? I know there's not a cure, but there are things to remediate some of the symptoms. Is that right?
Well, this is a virus, and again, antibiotics don't work.
Right.
It's a virus that causes a serious pneumonia that can be deadly in people, particularly elderly. I think I saw that 20% of people over 80 years of age will die from the disease. At least that's experienced in China. People who are cigarette smokers or might have obesity also have higher risk. And fortunately, that risk drops dramatically in younger people. And in fact, we just don't see illness at all serious illness in children and infants.
Dr. Remington, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Patrick Remington is professor emeritus at UW-Madison School of Medicine and Public Health. He joined us today to give us the latest on coronavirus here in Wisconsin.